general election campaign is underway. We are into the first full day of campaigning ahead of voting day on the 8th of February. An intriguing campaign both locally and nationally. We said this morning that at this stage we would take a look and an assessment and see how everything is looking in the eyes of two of the county's political heavyweights, Tony Killeen, former Clare Fianna Fáil TD and Minister, and Patricia McCarthy, long-time Shannon representative and former Mayor of Clare. Both join me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks very much for joining us. Let's start off, Patricia, by taking a look locally. We have 9 declared candidates so far. We have Sinn Féin confirming to us here in Clare FM that they will also be putting someone forward. No other names in the ether that I have heard as of yet, but of course there is still time for more to put their names forward. But what difference does the retirement of Dr. Michael Harty make to the race in your eyes?
It makes it interesting, but before we go into that, Gavin, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to extend my sympathy to one of the candidates this morning, and
absolutely.
That is to Michael McNamara, someone that I know very well, on the death of his mother. It's tough enough heading into a campaign, and it's dreadful losing one of your parents at any stage, and particularly a mother that has raised you since you were 14 days old. I think most people, or a lot of people, may not be aware that Michael was raised by an aunt. Who is his mother and has been his mother for that length of time. So, as I say, losing a mother at any stage is dreadful.
Absolutely,
and
our sympathies to him.
My sympathies
to his
him
family, absolutely.
And how it's going to impact on his campaign, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
As I say, it's an awful personal shock and tragedy, and how he copes with that will be an indication of what the man is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I concur with the condolences indeed, Gavin.
100%. No, yeah. And indeed, I'm sure everybody would echo those sentiments as well this morning. Go back to the politics. There's no easy way to transition, but you're right to do it.
There's no easy way to transition, but you're right to point it out and to
say that this morning. To go back to the
so
politics.
The departure of Michael Harty, and I'd like to wish him well and good luck as a medic in the current climate, going back into his practice and looking after his patients. That throws up an interesting scenario, because you would have thought that sitting TDs always have an advantage, even depending on, no matter what the circumstances are. So I would see that Fine Gael probably see it as securing their 2 seats, and Fianna Fáil probably see it as their chance to get 2 seats. But there is a mood out there. And I suppose we'd have to look at the fact that Clare traditionally has thrown up interesting facts and figures. And I think it was Dr. Harty, when he was speaking there during the week, that highlighted the amount of transient votes that are out there, I'll call them transient, that opt for others other than the main political parties. So you have 9 interesting candidates at the moment, and you have Sinn Féin nominating at the weekend. And it will be, we just want to see who they are going to be. But it does open it up. You're throwing the current mood, and I really can't read it at this point in time. Mm. There is an undercurrent out there that's hard to put your hand on. I don't think it's specific to Clare, but there is a specific mood in Clare at the moment.
Do you mean just it's fed up, cross, angry at the establishment?
I think if they're like me, and I see myself as an ordinary voter, today I'm frustrated. An hour's time, I'm so angry. And this evening, I could be just so despairing that I don't know where to turn or what to do. And I would be saying a plague on all your houses. But equally, there is the thread through the media that we have 2 choices, Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And nobody has recognised that in the last election, and the last term at the Dáil particularly, we saw a coming together of independents in a way we hadn't seen previously, a kind of a coherence. And so therefore, it's interesting to see how that's going to reflect and how people will feel about that.
Do you agree with much of that, Tony?
I certainly agree with Patricia in relation to the, let's call it the mood or the undercurrent that's there. Mm. And usually when that's there, at a certain point during the election, after a week or 10 days or whatever, that funnels itself into a movement that has a big impact on the outcome. And I know you want to talk about Clare first, because in some senses that's probably more relevant nationally.
Sure,
but in relation to Clare, so far as we know at the moment, the 2 big parties have 6 candidates, 3 each, and then there are 4 others. And it would seem very unlikely to me now that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined would get more than 70% of the vote. I think they'll do very well to get 70%, but let's say 70%.
That's an ambitious number, perhaps. Yeah.
But even if they do, that leaves 30% probably between only four candidates. And you would have to think that whichever one of those four is at the top wins a seat, because they could afford for, you know, a third of that vote to seep away and still have a quota. So I'm looking at it in Clare as very likely to be three seats to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined and one to others. Now, it is possible for a 2-2 outcome, but at this stage, it looks quite unlikely to me, I must say. So if I'm right, then the battle is between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for who gets the second seat, basically, which is pretty similar to the way it worked out the last time, actually.
It's an interesting battle, Patricia, because you talk about sitting TDs having an advantage, but in the form of Senator Comey, Carl Crowe and Rita McInerney, you'll have three ambitious candidates who would fancy their chances, I would imagine, to varying degrees.
And who are challenging the status quo. And the
status Even within their own parties.
And the status quo is a dangerous place to be. And especially if you're the... If the public are venting their anger, they're going to head for the status quo, because you're the one that's there in one sense, while you have an advantage and you've all an office and all the work you've done. At the same time, you're the one that's there. You're the one that was part of the decision-making process. And so therefore, if I'm annoyed at the health service or at housing or at employment or at whatever it is, then you're going to take it out on an individual or a group of individuals. So,
well, I mean, in a normal election, you'd say you'd take it out on the governing party. But will Fianna Fáil also cop some of that fire as well, because of the way that they have facilitated Fine Gael for the past 4 years?
I've spoken about my frustration and my annoyance and my anger. And as I say, automatically you tend to go for the person that's in government, and then you're fit to kill the person that's propping them up, whoever that may be, whether it's as the government, the independent members in government or whatever. And some of them just drive me bonkers. But equally... I think the public now are coming to a stage where they're also looking at candidates and the choice that they have, and they're also, in my view, looking more at what do we need locally. And I think when it comes down to it, when you're looking at him or her or them or us or Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and then people are saying, well, who else is standing locally, and what do I think they'll do, and what is their ability, and what will they deliver for Clare? And I think when that comes into the equation, if any of the other candidates, either within the party system or outside the party system, if any of those can make that impression on people, I think that's going to be the key for them. Right. And that happens as much in the party as it does in the independents and the small parties, as we call them.
A very significant event in 2016 was the Clare Champion poll about a week before, just a week before the election, or maybe a week and a day, I can't remember, but a week anyway, which set out who were running better in the parties. And in the case of Fine Gael, Pat Breen was seen to be a long way ahead of Joe Carey, and they managed through various means to balance that up and keep the two in the running. And of course, in the process, they sacrificed Mary Howard, who was the third candidate, and Fianna Fáil were unable to do something similar, and the outcome was that Timmy Dooley had a huge vote and Michael Malty McDonagh had a very decent vote. But not enough. Even though Fianna Fáil had virtually 3,000 number ones more than Fine Gael, which is an enormous gap. Like,
that's embarrassing.
It's not, there or thereabouts.
No, but it's embarrassing for any party to be the biggest party and have one fewer seat.
Now, there were other factors. There was the transfer of the Labour vote, which went very strongly in favour of Fine Gael on that occasion, because they'd just been in government together. We don't know if Labour having... I don't actually know if Labour having a candidate or not.
My understanding is that they won't.
I would say that they won't. I think that the time, the need in for a small party like the Labour Party in Clare would be too short. They haven't had an identifiable candidate. If they had got somebody elected in the council elections, they may have. One of their potential candidates, I think, is working out of the county at the moment.
I'm open to correction of that, but I spoke with people locally in Labour.
If that becomes the outcome, Michael McNamara's vote is considerably strengthened, in my view. And I think it's likely to be a strong vote in any event. So the battle at that side will be very interesting. But I suppose in terms of a government, ultimately, there are two questions. One is, which of the main parties is ahead? And even if Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael manage to have 55 seats, which looks more or less impossible, or looks very difficult anyway. And let's say the Greens and Labour had 20, that's 75. You would still need a minimum of 6 independents to have any kind of a stable government. So in that scenario, some independents are going to be ministers again. There's no doubt about that.
I want to rattle through some of the different kind of groupings, shall we say. Tony, to yourself and Fianna Fáil first. We have seen on social media, in particular from Rita McInerney, some criticisms of some figures within the party. It's not all peace and harmony and love in Fianna Fáil at the moment.
It's never peace and harmony within a party. There is nothing as bad as the internal battles in a party. You know, when elections come, it reminds me of some of the little tiffs, which really and truly, I suppose, amounted to nothing much, that happened back in my own time. And you do your best to float above them when you're a candidate, but it's impossible to. You get pulled into them in spite of yourself. And I suppose in relation to the three candidates, Rita McInerney could benefit enormously from the absence of Michael Hartley, because she's de facto the only real West Clare candidate.
Pat Breen would argue that.
Yeah, well, Pat gets a huge West Clare vote because he was a West Clare councillor.
Yes.
But his location is nearer to Joe Carey than to anywhere in the West. And that's been to their benefit, the central location, in my view. So even if you say Pat and Rita, she has the potential to come out of the West with a substantial vote. And then Cathal Crowe is the mayor, which is an advantage. He's down in the southeast corner, which was never there in my time. The last time it's been with Clare was 1989.
Yes, yeah.
So, and there is a substantial vote down there, and there's a very strong population.
Is Terry Dooley damaged by Votegate?
My view is that within the county, it will have a minimal impact on his vote. But of course, it's an embarrassment for Fianna Fáil nationally, because you don't want to have negatives hanging on to you. And we were particularly unfortunate down through the years at having people who were, you know, putting us in that situation.
At that point, what do you think? Because you've spoken before, you're very angry to see what happened across
but
different parties.
But I was going to say, Fianna Fáil aren't alone in this one.
But he has become one of the two names most associated with it, for
various reasons. But the rest of them are trying to slither out from under it. And as far as I'm concerned, they will not be slithering out from under it. And I won't let them forget it. Mm. You know, that's the reality, because they're telling us how important our vote is. And we're putting our trust in somebody. And then they decide that they're going to do what they like when they get up to Dublin. I mean, modern technology is fine. But in this instance, modern technology has abused and has allowed democracy to be abused.
Talk to me of Fine Gael. What chance does Martin Conway have?
I think Martin Conway, maybe 2 years ago, was really in there. But I think he has been damaged by what happened in the local elections with my former colleague Bill Slattery. Now, no matter what happens, there's a fallout from that. So whether it's sufficient to damage Martin Conway to a bigger extent than we even think is going to be interesting to
see. Martin Conway pointed out at the time that he offered to campaign with Bill Slattery.
Tony has just said it. There are rivalries within parties and during elections that equal no other rivalry. And the one thing about social media is that it has been bringing out that rivalry in a way, because people are tweeting. I think they're forgetting that all becomes public. So you flash something to somebody, or you send a WhatsApp message or something, and somebody else has it, and then I don't know how it's getting out there, but it's got out. So I don't say anything. I won't comment politically on social media unless I'm really annoyed. And even then, you're kind of restrained in what you're saying. So the amount of damage that has been done to him, I would suspect, is greater than people think, even though, as he said in his defence, he offered to do X, Y, and Z. But the hurt and the sense of wrong that was there and is still lingering.
But does that really resonate with the public 8 months on after the incident?
Fair play and justice, I think, are two key.
Martin has got a very high profile for a senator. He will have name recognition far beyond North Clare, Tony.
Yeah, the damage could be confined locally, but he does have to contend with Roisin Garvey as a candidate pretty much in the same area. And I think she has the capacity to be a formidable candidate. And I know I'm kind of saying that there are four of them for one seat and six for the other three, in a sense. One thing that could happen, Fine Gael, it's quite possible that their three candidates would have pretty decent votes and be close together. And the challenge for them then will be to get the transfer of the third one with the high vote to come to the other two. And
that could be for both parties.
And it's even worse for Fianna Fáil, because I think that Timmy Dooley as the incumbent is entirely safe. I think it's the only one I'd say this time. And that the battle sort of is between Cathal Crowe and Rita McInerney. But the difficulty for Fianna Fáil is to ensure some kind of a transfer between a candidate in West Clare and a candidate in South East Clare, or vice versa, whichever the case may be.
And that's
a very difficult challenge. Yeah.
Party loyalties do seem to be weaker.
And that's why I think if you had a poll and you knew which of your candidates were performing well and which was the second one, like the party apparatus is able to push a bit of support, a couple thousand votes maybe, behind the person who's second.
The parties have their polls. Patricia, do you agree, two-part question, do you agree with Tony that there is a seat beyond the big two parties in Clare? And if so, who's best placed to get it?
I do. I think there is a seat there for another. I think it will be hard, because I think that we're seeing the power of the parties, damaged as they are in some people's eyes, the party system, but they still have power. They still can command canvassers and get people out there. It's much more difficult as an individual and as an independent to get that power. I would agree with Tony that Roisin Garvey is a strong candidate in some aspects. There are other aspects in this county that may pull her back and because of their national policy in some issues.
Some rural dwellers will be very angry at some of what Eamon Ryan has said, for example.
And then again, we'll probably have another day's discussion on it, when you look at their policies and you see what they're talking about. And I think I said it here previously, it has worried me that in his own constituent, his own backyard of Dublin, there's never a talk about doing anything to solve the climate crisis in Dublin. I mean, I cannot understand. They have never, in my opinion, mentioned a congestion tax as a way of solving the traffic problem in Dublin. And what you ask yourself, why? Because that will damage their voters in that urban vote that they're so reliant on. In the case of the other known strong person that we know, which is Michael McNamara, and I think that he has a profile since, first of all, he did stand as an independent originally when he went for the European elections and did quite well.
Yeah.
At the time, I was kind of surprised when he went to Labour.
That was 2009, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then I was surprised when he decided to go for Labour, but then wasn't, in a sense, when you see his concerns and his social justice and issues like that he felt strong on. But he showed that maverick breed in him when he went into the Dáil as part of the government, and he wasn't willing to go with the party line. And for me, particularly when he made the stand in Shannon, that showed that he was committed to the people of Clare and what really the engine for growth in Shannon. He didn't care about the party whip. So to hear him going, to know that he was going as an independent, I wasn't surprised, because I think that's where his home is. And I think he would be a strong independent. I think he'd be a strong candidate. He has kept in touch, as I understand it, and I do know him.
Yeah.
He has kept in touch with the farming community, of which he's very much a part of. He has been involved with a lot of people. But equally, I know that he has used his training and his background as a barrister to help a number of organisations in the county to give them advice.
And that's one thing, just to finish, Tony, that we should touch on. I mean, Patricia has mentioned the farming issue that Michael McNamara would very much see himself as being to the fore on. So too, of course, would Joseph Wolfe. And whatever one makes of his chances, the beef plan movement, of which he is the head of in Clare, gave rise to those protests last week. Many probably won't give him a chance of being elected. But where the farmers' vote goes in places like Clare could be very important.
My gut feeling is that most of the farmer vote will stay loyal to the parties that it has been loyal to. But of course, gradually the number who aren't is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Michael McNamara is well placed. But of course, the party people have farmers among them as well. Pat Breen, Timmy Dooley's family would be farmers. Cathal Crowe's people are farmers. You know, there are farmers, but there is something that Patricia's talking about that Michael McNamara appears to have. And he's spoken very positively, for example, in relation to his prospects of being a minister if there were five or six independents needed to prop up a government. And that there are people who look to that. And he has always conducted himself very well. And extraordinarily, when Labour were collapsing, he increased his vote in his own area, which is quite extraordinary. So he's a very credible candidate. And he's probably, himself and Rita McInerney benefit hugely from the absence, and maybe Pat Breen as well, from the absence of Dr. Harty.
I think we have forgotten to mention his connection with West Clare. We've given Rita McInerney...
There is a Spanish point.
There's a Spanish point, a very strong Spanish point connection. And equally, for family reasons, he has been constantly in that area for the last number of years. With his wife Sarah, and now with their baby Margaret.
Do Sinn Féin have any chance? Whoever their candidate may be, coming into the race so late is a detriment to anybody.
What's happening in Sinn Féin locally, we don't know. We've had, they have put off until now, out of respect for the late councillor Mike McKee, the nomination of their council candidate. And as a result, their ticket went AWOL because they had no choice, they had to review it. So whether they'll come up, they had always intended two candidates, I think. That was their strategy.
I imagine so more likely to be one now, based on what I'm hearing.
You would expect it would only be one now. Yeah. And who that candidate and where they're placed is going to be is going to be important, and what their profile is.
I'm glad we started with Claire, because we've done 20 minutes without leaving the constituency and I've only got a couple to go. I wanted to show this in case you hadn't seen it. So that's the front page of the Irish Examiner this morning. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin being pitched together in a head-to-head battle, according to their editorial team. And I'm wondering if that, Tony Killeen, is the counter argument to your 2-1-1 prediction in Clare, that if this becomes a presidential campaign, Micheál versus Leo, that the voters may be inclined to galvanise around the big parties. Just a quick word on how you see it might going nationally.
If that becomes the case, then a 2-2 outcome in Clare is eminently possible. Mm. I don't think a 3-1 is, you know. But a 2-2 is, but I still think it's highly unlikely. And, you know, I suspect that Fine Gael people wish that Simon Coveney were their leader just now, because all research in relation to elections shows that about a third of the vote is influenced by the person who will be Taoiseach, which is an extraordinary amount. And I think particularly what we heard Dr. Harty saying about the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health in relation to lack of engagement with the Chairman of the Health Committee and a whole lot of other things.
It resonates with people.
You know, sort of underlines a new, more negative image of Leo Varadkar than perhaps had been created in people's minds.
You mean you didn't have a negative image of him?
Well, I know
him. Come on now, Tom.
There's a lot of time to go. The other thing then, Patricia, just finally, people will vote, obviously, but ultimately it's the TDs that'll choose the government. So I don't know what impact they might have, that might have for the smaller parties in terms of how they try to position themselves to the voter and how successful or otherwise they will be in getting
no matter what the media want in a head-to-head and a presidential-style election, all voting is local.
And so all it's 40 politics, elections that are taking place
politics,
on the 8th
all politics is local. There will be an input and an impetus, but no matter how they do it, unless there's a massive swing like what happened in the United Kingdom, there is not going to be a party formed by any one of the two of them on their own. And that is the reality of it.
There's no chance of it.
Not with our system of voting. So that's out. So now you're back into what's going to be best for County Clare. And in my opinion, I do not want the same as what we've had for the last 5 years. I do not want to go into a hospital and see even one bed on a corridor of a ward, not to mention a bed in the corridor of the A&E. I want to see the housing list properly reflect the housing needs of the people in this county, because it's been manipulated and kept down because the levels have not been. I'm in election mode.
No, I understand, as we all are.
I should be standing.
Do you want to? There's still a few days.
No, I've enough.
There'd be an exclusive, I tell you that for nothing. I've got heaps of comments on what people are looking for and who they think might give to them, and I'll get to those in a wee while. For now though, I'll thank you both, Patricia McCarthy and Tony Killeen. Much more chat to come in the weeks to come. Thanks for joining us this morning.